When asked to a few weeks ago if I could give a summer talk, I of course said yes, not really having any plan of what the subject might be. In the past, my topics have included the dignity and worth of senior citizens, who is my neighbor, healing, marriage, and of course the notorious religious joke sermon. I've had a wonderful time sharing these topics with all of you. Your caring presence, support, and tolerance always make it a joy to speak to you, which is why I love you, and you. To paraphrase a song by the late John Denver, I was born in the fall of my 52nd year, coming home to a place I'd never been before. I left yesterday behind me, you might say I was born again. You might say I'd found the key to every door. That coming home was finding Unitarian Universalism. And the keys to every door are the seven principles on which Unitarian Universalism is based. The election of 2008 ended my longtime relationship with the Catholic Church. Watching the once champion of the poor and marginalized take sides on marriage equality sent me on my path here. I had always been a progressive Catholic, but the conservative move of the church over the years, starting with Ronald Reagan, forced me to look at what I truly believed. I find it ironic that according to the Christian Bible, the person Jesus also took exception with the conservative leaders of his church, citing the rights and needs of the less fortunate and marginalized of his time. A lot of us know how well his opposition worked out for him. An older gentleman named Bill Bates, who worked on social justice issues for our church and sang in the choir with me, sat and listened to my displeasure with the church. He suggested that I visit the Unitarian Universalist Church Chalice in Escondido. Bill had worked with the late Reverend Margot McKenna on social justice interfaith projects and was impressed with her. One Sunday, Bill and I went to Chalice, where I met Reverend Margot and was introduced to a UU church for the first time and the seven principles which guided their community. It was a nice community, but I really felt compelled to keep searching. Looking online for other Unitarian Universalist churches, I happened upon UUFSD's website. The upcoming Sunday was to be a music Sunday. Since I love singing in the choir at my former church, I was compelled to come here and listen. I wasn't disappointed. On the patio after the service, Larry Jones came up to me and introduced himself and made me feel totally welcome. He was welcoming the stranger in his midst. Soon he was introducing me to others in the congregation, all of whom were equally friendly. From that moment on, I felt at home. I went home and excitedly told my wife, Alita, about my experience. The following week, she came with me to a service. And the following month, we both became members here. So what is it about Unitarian Universalism that rings true for me and so many others? It has to be sharing in community with like-minded individuals, guided by principles rather than dogma. Sharing my worship experience with others who truly strive to respect the inherent dignity and worth of every person, who seek justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, and who accept one another for who they are, and try to encourage each other to growth within this community is fundamental to who we are. We allow ourselves a free and responsible search for our own truth and meaning, as well as the right of following our conscience and using the democratic process in community matters. Strengthened within our own community here, we work toward the goal of a world community which cares for one another. And finally, we show respect for the interdependent web of existence of which we are all a part. These are the principles which guide my life at home and in community, and what makes me love UU. One of the first groups I became involved with here at UUFSD was the Pastoral Care Committee. Having the opportunity to be there for someone in need is extremely fulfilling to me. Each Sunday, we try to provide someone who is trained to lovingly listen to your cares and concerns. We try to not offer advice, but rather just be a caring presence. I think it's a shame that more of us don't take advantage of this opportunity on Sundays. I know we all have experiences week in and week out that burden us emotionally, which can become lighter when shared with an empathetic ear. As an example, I'd like to share a hard moment that I had this week with all of you. You get to be the pastoral listeners. As many of you know, Alita and I have recently sold our home of 26 years and have moved into a 55 and over community. For the past 3 years, my daughter-in-law and two grandsons, aged 4 and 3, live with us. When I retired a year and a half ago, I became the morning get the boys up and ready for the day person. Suddenly, it was like being a parent all over again. The bond that developed between me and the boys has been a parent-childlike. Since May, the boys and their mom have lived in their own apartment. I've been very busy with the old and new houses and haven't had much time to be with the boys. One day this last week, I got over to see the boys. Both of them were glad to see me, particularly the three-year-old, who just held on to me and kept kissing me. When I sat down, little Henry looked up at me and said, "Grandpa, you can come live here now." Not being there with all of them has really been hard for me, but I know that we'll get through it. It just takes time and the support of others like you. This morning when Alita and I went on our walk, she gets me up each morning and walks me like a dog because she knows I'll sit around all day otherwise. We were walking along and I was expressing my discomfort with what I'd written today. I just didn't seem to say what I wanted. And she said, "Well, did you tell a few jokes?" And I said, "Well, no." I said, "I haven't felt funny in a long time." She says, "I know, I live with you." But it is hard. And the topic of I love you, you, and you, I have a lot that I really want to say about it. As you know, in April, I fell from a ladder while painting my house and broke 3 ribs. As soon as they found out, the pastoral committee called to see if I needed rides to the doctor or help with meals. I thanked them, but said not at this time. The first Thursday after the fall, Alita and I had to miss choir practice. Friday morning, my phone rang. "Don, this is Ed from the choir. I heard you had a fall and broke your ribs. How can I help? Do you need help finishing the painting?" I thanked Ed for the offer, but explained that I was just helping a painter friend who was already working for me. It was nice to have the offer, though. And after several calls from Renee on the pastoral care team, I accepted her offer to bring dinner one night, which was delicious, by the way. I realized that by turning down offers of assistance, I was denying a fellow congregant the opportunity to do something kind for me. Being there for one another in times of need binds us all closer. For the past couple of years, Alita and I have belonged to a sacred circle here within the fellowship. For those of you that don't know what that is, we meet in each other's homes, several of us, and generally discuss the topics that will be discussed from the pulpit over the next month. Linda Gianelli Pratt and John Atchison have been our family hosts, and we have a wonderful time being with them each once a month, And I would encourage all of you, next month we're going to start Sacred Circles again. And as a good opportunity to get to know one another a little better, I would encourage you all to sign up for a group. Earlier this spring, the pastoral care team launched a care team for everybody here at the fellowship and gave you the opportunity to join. As I've said before, I was extremely proud that more than 100 of you signed up to try and help bring meals or rides or anything that we could do. You wanted to be there for each other. When you consider that there's 240 people in this community, having 100 of them volunteer to offer their services is a wonderful thing. And I was very glad. But it also includes those of us who have little things like falling off of ladders and trying not to take help, to step out of our comfort zone and allow the people of our community to get to know us a little better and to help us out when we need it. Several months ago, my friend Ben Plotnick here asked me if I wanted to start a men's group once a month. And I said, sure. And we call ourselves the Daytimers, and we get together one Friday a month at the Roundtable Pizza here in Escondido, where we also get to know each other a little better and also talk about events in our lives and the lives of the fellowship that we find interesting to talk about. You gentlemen that are off on Fridays and may want to join us, please come this Friday. As a matter of fact, we'll be meeting from 11 to 1. And finally, I'd like to mention a former member of our community, Reverend David Miller. Rev D came to this fellowship just a little bit before I did. Working with him on different aspects of life in this community was a pleasure. David's obvious care about this community, as well as its members, was always present. He will be missed, but we are a better community thanks to his leadership. Next week, we welcome our interim minister, Reverend Megan Conrad Cefalu. I'm sure she'll be a wonderful asset to this community, and I'm sure this community will welcome her gifts and talents as we complete our search for a new settled minister. And finally, and most importantly, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for being my partner on the journey here at the fellowship. I truly love all of you as members of my extended family. It is being part of this community that I can truly say, I love you, you, and you. Thank you.